Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 to 25. And for anyone who would like to follow along, it's actually on page 1164 of your pew Bible. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. And our second reading comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 17 to 27, on page 1881. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So our message this morning is going to come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, and this is the Good Samaritan. So if you want to follow along as I read it on page 1615 in your Bibles. Luke 10, starting at verse 25. So on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? Well, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Well, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. Well, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Well, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side, and so too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. Well, the next day he took him out. He took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." So which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Well, the expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how you provide for us for this word that you've given to us this morning. We do ask that you'd bless us, open our hearts and our minds to your will. And I ask that my words may be your words in hearts of each of them here today. Guide us in all things. In Jesus, we do pray. Amen. So this parable, it's really familiar. Anybody not heard this before? I think everybody's heard this story before. And sometimes, you know, we hear a story too many times, we start to miss the point. We really don't understand it. So I got thinking about it. Got to find a different way to put this parable into context and how we live and how we think about things. So I got thinking about the 3 different mindsets of this parable and how we think about it. So I got to thinking, remember in the old golden days of the old West, their main transportation was a stagecoach, wasn't it? Who's ever watched an old stagecoach movie? Anybody? I always wanted to ride one. Not in some little park or something, but actually across the desert or across the mountains just to see what it was like. Never did, and it probably wouldn't be too much fun. But anyway, back in those days, to ride a stagecoach, there were 3 different kinds of tickets you could buy. There was first, second, and third class tickets. Depending on which ticket is dependent upon what you were required to do. I know Bonnie and I, we took a flight out to Washington, and if you go on an airplane, there's different tickets. You can buy a first class ticket, or I think it's, what's the second one, Jude? A business ticket, or you can buy an economy ticket, and there's different places you get to sit. Well, it was the same thing in the stagecoach. So a first class ticket, if you bought a first class ticket, well, you got to sit on a stagecoach no matter what happened. You had a seat. You could sit there if it broke down. If it got stuck in the mud, you just sat there and waited for them to get it out of the mud because you had a first-class ticket. Now, if you had a second-class ticket, it was a little bit cheaper, but what that meant, so if it got stuck in the mud or broke down, you had to get out and stand and wait for them to get it out of the mud. In other words, you had to lighten the load a little bit. Or if you had a third-class ticket, they were pretty cheap. You could fly economy. But if they broke down, you got out and you had to push. You had to help them get out of the mud. If the wheel broke off or fell off, you had to get out and you had to be the one to help lift up the stagecoach so they get the wheel back on. There was actually stuff that was required. And I got thinking about that. I got thinking, isn't that what this story, what happened in this story, really? So you think about this. So now we had a priest and a Levite that come by and they see this guy on the road. And what do? They think they got privilege tickets. So they just kind of walk to the other side of the road and on they go. So because they thought they had first or second class tickets. Now the Samaritan, he comes by. And he sees this guy and he immediately knows what his duty is. He begins to help him. Because he understood that
He had a third class ticket. But the interesting part is, he actually shows this injured man first class love. He requires nothing of the injured man, does he now? He gives him first class love. And yet he's still the one who has the third class ticket. The more I thought about that, I got to think about, that's the way it is in church, isn't it? So I got this mindset. It's like, so many times people come to church and they have this mindset of they're either a first class ticket, or they got a second class ticket, or they got third class seats. And the more I thought about it, I thought, we probably really ought to should talk about that. Thinking about the Good Samaritan and how what he did. You know, what made the Good Samaritan good? Anybody know? Why did we call him good? Any volunteers? He was good because he knew he had to serve. Because he was willing. Because he was loving. Because he showed first class love. Even though he had a third class ticket. That's what made him good. Why is that? Because he did it in the name of Christ and of Jesus. Because he knew, as Jesus has taught us all when he was here in his life, he was one who came to serve. That's the way Jesus lived. That was the example that he gave us as one who came to serve. He knew how to give first class love. He was tempted, you know. Last week we talked about when Jesus' ministry first started, he went out to the desert, right? And he was tempted. What was the first thing that Satan tempted him with? He wanted to give him everything, didn't he? He said, you can have a first class ticket through life. You don't have to do anything when life goes by. I'll take care of everything. But Jesus turned him down, didn't he? He wanted a third class ticket. He wanted to be the one who served. That's why he came. That's why he came to die for us. Too often people in church, they think they can just sit here. I was reading a little mini sermon a pastor was writing. It was about people who wanted to come to church, but I got to look up. I got to figure out what the name. I don't remember what the name of it was right now. Anyway, it's about being able to come to church. They sit in the pews, and that's where they're stuck. And so many of us like that. We don't want to do anything. Reminded me of the story. The guy went to his wife. He says, "Honey, I'm not capable of doing housework anymore. I just can't do it. There's something wrong with me." So she looks at him and says, "I'm going to make you a doctor's appointment." So she sends him to the doctors. Well, he goes to the doctors and he goes through this great big physical, and he says, the doc comes back in and got all the tests back, says, "I know exactly what's wrong with you." And the guy looks at the doctor, he says, "Give it to me straight, doc. I can take it. I'm a big man." He says, "Okay." He says, "So my diagnosis is you're nothing but lazy." Guy, bold face, looks right back at him and says, "Well, doc," he says, "do you have a medical term for that that I can tell my wife?" You know, too many times we come to church and we have all these excuses because I can't do that. I want to sit here and let somebody else do it. People who do that, they think they got a first-class ticket. Well, then there's people who think they have a second-class ticket. There's people who come in here, and they're like the priest and a Levite. They think, all right, well, I can come in and watch, and I can get out of the way and let somebody else do it. I can at least move and do that. But the problem is with second-class ticket holders, they have a tendency to be armchair quarterbacks. They like to play that blame game. Blame somebody else or give somebody else advice. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, maybe I had to write down some of these thoughts I had. So, have you ever heard when we're doing something and the criticism starts because somebody will say, they're doing that all wrong, or would you look at that? Or maybe they say, they don't know anything. Or that group couldn't organize a two-car parade. I mean, we've heard all these responses. And if you'd ask me, I wouldn't do it like that. How many have heard that when they were trying to take care of an issue? We've all heard that. We've all heard them excuses, right? Well, when that happens, when you open your mouth, you start saying that, you reveal that, yeah, you think you've got a second-class ticket. You've come to church, you got religion, now I got second-class religion. But that's not what Jesus wants us to have, is it? That's not how Jesus lived. Jesus reminds us we have third-class tickets. So when I started in ministry, and I had a couple of pastors I would meet with and talk with every so often, and one of them came up to me one day, and he says, well, I had a fellow come to the church. He wanted to come in church. He wanted to be fed. He wanted to become a member, be fed. And I looked at him. I says, I've had some issues like that too, where people wanted to come. So how do you handle it? How do you tell them to begin with? He says, well, I looked this guy right in the face. I says, that's great. I'm glad you want to join our church. But what we really need is for you to take off your bib and put on an apron. That's what it is to become a member of a church. That's what it is to become a member of any family. We too often forget that as Christians, when we accept Christ as our Savior, God gives us first-class love. We don't have to do anything. We can sit there, and He gives us this first-class ticket in His love, because He has forgiven us for what we did before, what we've done after. We become Christians. But He does only give us a third-class ticket for the ride. Expect that when it's time to go to work, when it's time to get off, we get out of the stagecoach, and if it's stuck, we push. If it needs a wheel on, we may have to hold it up. We may have to be the one who changes the wheel. But He gave us a first-class love and a third-class ticket. That's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to believe in Christ and to be His follower. Just like He said in Luke, go likewise and do it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to come together, to share some time, some thoughts, and some instruction that You have given to us. Help us to be like the Good Samaritan. Help us when we leave this place and in these hours to go likewise and do as the Samaritan did. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.